first service, so if you want to see the children special, you have to come to that, all right? That's just the way it goes on specials, Children's Day. Just by show of hands, how many mothers do we have with us this morning? Mothers, if you're a mother, we've got a lot of mothers. How many of you would be grandmothers? Oh, here we go, a couple over here. Grandmothers, keep your hands up, grandmothers. Very good. Oh, excellent. Don't be proud, grandmothers, I'm proud. How many, are there any great-grandmothers? Great-grandmothers? You got a couple in here? I see Miss Doreen and Mrs. Horn, right? Excellent. Any great-great? I'm pushing it, I know, but just asking. Okay. Excellent. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, I'm sure that you must be the daughter of a mother, right? So we all have mothers, don't we? We all have or have had a mother in our life. Today, though, I want to share with us this message called simply The Power of a Praying Woman. The power of a praying woman. Back in the time of the early church, during the time of the apostles, in culture, women were not very valued by the men as a general rule. Maybe some of you say it's still the same today. Well, it was a little different. One of the unusual things, though, about Jesus was how he reached out and included women in his ministry as he traveled about. We have the examples throughout the scripture, that things like the woman at the well, where Jesus, a rabbi, conversed and spoke and shared with a woman, a Samaritan woman at that. His dear love for Mary and Martha, his compassion that he showed to the woman who was caught in adultery, and while all the others were ready to stone her, to throw rocks at her. And so we see God loving and having compassion and reaching out to the women around him. And then we have after the resurrection, after the crucifixion, and then there was the resurrection, the disciples were waiting, as instructed by Jesus, for the coming of the Holy Spirit, or the Comforter that was promised. And he told them to go and wait, because not many days from now, I will send the Comforter to you, one who is like me. He was referring to the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to be sending him to you. And so they waited. The Bible mentions people waiting were Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the younger, Simon, and Judas, not Iscariot. But then in our text in Acts 1, verse 14, mentions something. Look at verse 14. By the way, do we have the slides? The PowerPoint? It is on? Okay. Last I heard, no one could find the slides, so I guess we found them? Okay, good. Okay, so read this with me, okay? I wanted to make sure it was over your heads. Read it with me. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. It mentions all these apostles, the men, but it also makes a point to point out that they continued together with the women. Even mentions Mary, the mother of Jesus, and this was the last time that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was mentioned in the New Testament and with his brothers. These were exciting days, but they were also uncertain days. There was an anxiousness as they were waiting. They weren't sure what was going to happen next exactly. And for this small group of disciples, they gathered together and they continued. And they devoted themselves to praying, including the women here. They had just witnessed the crucifixion of Christ. They were there. They saw what had happened. They were devastated by it. They couldn't stop it. But they also saw him after the resurrection and the amazing time that was. The amazing feeling of seeing Jesus again. And they remembered, and Jesus taught them for some time after the resurrection. And he was seen by many people. And he taught them and showed them that this was what was planned all along. He had to do this. This is what he came to do. And then he left them. The Bible describes that he left them in a cloud right before their very eyes. And then the angel told them, "Why do you stand here staring up into heaven? The same Jesus that you've seen go will come in like manner." And so they were told by Jesus, before he left them, to wait for the promise of the Father. And they were praying together. The Bible is full of praying women. Hannah, who prayed to the Lord continually. We have Esther, who was a praying woman. And in the midst of a crisis in her country, in her nation, she devoted herself to prayer, and she urged others to do the same. The women of faith and prayer, even throughout the New Testament that we find, like I read it just a little bit ago, of Lois and Eunice, Timothy's mother, Timothy's grandmother. God listens to the prayers of his children, and yes, of godly women as well. Now, personally, I thank God. I thank God I had a praying mother. I know my mother spent a lot of time praying for me. And she reminds me of that from time to time. "Ken, I prayed for you so much." I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but maybe I gave her so many worries, and she spent a lot of time on her knees for me. But I know I wouldn't be where I am today without her, without a mother who loved, who sought the Lord, who spent time praying for me. I recall also the prayers, the prayer of my wife, Jennifer. And I know she prays. She prays a lot. And whether my own kids fully realize and appreciate it or not, she prays for them all the time. God hears the prayers of godly women. The first point I want to look at with you today, though, is that we must realize there is only one who can meet your needs. Realize there is only one who can meet your needs. Now, yes, the message today, being on Mother's Day, is called "The Power of a Praying Woman." But fellas, don't tune out. This message is applicable, like most things. It's applicable to us as well. There is only one who can meet your needs. Every woman has needs. And too often, they look for those needs to be met in something or someone else. And we all have a tendency to do that. And yes, often, they may look in the wrong places. They may look to the men in their lives to meet those needs. And sometimes, you may fall in love with the man, and you may decide, "I am going to marry this man." But if you're looking to that man to meet all of your needs, that is a heavy burden that you're placing on him that he's not able to meet. You're looking to the wrong place, the wrong person. Only God can meet your needs. And so you must first look to God to be the fulfillment of all your needs. David realized this when he wrote in Psalm 62, verse 5, "My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him." God is the only one that can meet the needs that you have. Again, he says in Psalm 25, verse 5, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. I will wait on you, God." He was looking only to God to meet his needs. The expression of wait on the Lord is repeated throughout the Psalms. Wait upon the Lord. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Are you waiting on the Lord? What does that mean? There was some lyrics I liked of an old song. It was a classic Petra song, actually. And it goes like this. You know the song, Jenny? No. You say you've been feeling weaker, weaker by the day. You say you can't make the joy of your salvation stay. But good things come to those who wait, not to those who hesitate. So hurry up and wait upon the Lord. So how do you hurry up and wait upon the Lord? Perhaps you've heard the prayer of someone who says, Lord, I need patience and I need it now. Give me patience, give it now. To wait upon the Lord means that you're totally looking to Him in confident expectation and trust. You know the Lord will meet all of your needs, and so you are looking to Him in expectation of those needs and trust that He will fulfill all of those needs. That is what it means to wait upon the Lord. It is not a passive, I will do nothing. It is an active hope and trust in you, the one that you know can meet all of your needs. Tell God. Go to Him in prayer. Tell Him all of your needs. And don't worry. He's not going to be surprised. He's not going to be surprised or shocked at what you have to say to Him. He already knows. He is just waiting to hear from you. Go to the Lord. Be women of prayer. Be men of prayer. And see the power of a praying woman. Number two, don't just survive. What do I mean by don't just survive? Many people just try to survive one day after the next. Try to get by till the next week. Get by, just survive this year. If I could just survive the coming years. But don't just survive. That's not the kind of life that Jesus Christ wants for you to live. Take a look at John 10, verse 10, and read this one with me if you would. You know this verse. Read it out loud. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Who is the thief? Okay, Satan. We'll refer to him as the thief. And he's the one that comes to steal, to take away the joy in your life. But Jesus says, I've come to give life. And not just any life, but abundant life. Abundantly. A life full of joy, a life full of love, a life full of purpose. And He wants you to live that kind of life. Are you living that life or are you surviving? What kind of mode are you in? Survival mode or abundant life mode? I was reading some things about our country, New Zealand. A 2016 OECD report shows New Zealand has the worst teen suicide rate in the world. New Zealand. Many people are not living the abundant life. They're trying to survive. I read 1 in 9 adults. Listen to this. 1 in 9 adults and actually 1 in 6 women in New Zealand are on antidepressant drugs today. Does that surprise you? Because it does me. That's a lot. That's as of 2014, a few years out of date. 1 in 9 adults and 1 in 6 women are on antidepressant drugs and medication. They're trying to survive. Prescription drugs, these kinds of medications, they rose 37% from just 5 years, 2007 to 2012. Big spike, big rise. People are trying to just survive, and they're not doing too well at that. Contrast these statistics of the rise in suicide, the rise in antidepressant drugs that we see. Contrast this, however, to the changes of the demographics of New Zealanders and religion. The statistics will show a continual decline in those of faith. And those who say, I have no faith, I have no particular religious affiliation or belief, that's continuing to increase. At the same time that we see people barely surviving. Today, those in the 20 to 25-year-old age group, nearly 50% of them in that age group stated that they have no faith that they believe in. Nearly 50% in the 20 to 25 year age group. As opposed to those who are over 65 today, only 15% of them said they have no particular faith in their life. Guys, these are concerning statistics that we see in our country. And people are just trying to survive, and at the same time, they're abandoning the Lord, they're abandoning faith, they're abandoning the Bible, they're abandoning church, and something is just not working. These are sad statistics, but I want to say God wants something more for you. Your answers are not going to be found in psychology. Your answers are not going to be found in education and in philosophy. God has the answers, and we need to get back to Him. We need to get back to His Word. Romans 8, verse 37 makes this statement about believers. It says, yet in all these things, in all the difficulties, the trials, the troubles, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You're more than a conqueror through Him. God didn't come to let you just survive, but Jesus came that you might have life, an abundant life. Not just get by, but be more than conquerors. God wants you to experience the abundant life. Being a child of God is about having a relationship with God. God made us in His image because of He wants a relationship with us. And to have a relationship with somebody means communication. And God has gifted us with the ability to go to Him and communicate, and that is through our prayers. To pour out your heart to Him, to go to Him in adoration and praise and in prayers and supplications, requests. And He encourages us, let your requests be made known. Come boldly before the throne of grace. He invites you to come to Him in prayer. He's given us that gift. Prayer is a powerful tool at your disposal if you would but use it. There's an old hymn. The hymn is called, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Listen to this verse. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Some great words there. Great words, old song, but words of an understanding of the importance and the power of prayer. He says, what peace we often forfeit. You know what it is to forfeit? It means to give up, to just give up something. Don't forfeit your peace anymore. Don't forfeit your peace. Don't live in survival mode. That's not working. And it never works. Turn to the Lord. Go to Him. Be a praying woman. Be a praying man. And thirdly, live in the power of God. Live in the power of God. Everyone has had times when you feel completely powerless in the face of hard circumstances. Powerless. For a moment, I want you moms here to remember your conversion to Christ. I'm speaking to you first, moms. Remember your conversion to Christ when you came to know Him, when you came to faith. At some point, you realize that you don't have in yourself what it takes to attain any kind of permanent transformation in your life. You needed Christ. At that time, you knew without a doubt that your best efforts to change yourself or your circumstances never work. You understood your helplessness. You recognized the need for power outside of and far greater than yourself. And you trusted Christ as your Savior at that time. At some time, moms, those of you who are moms of faith, who have trusted Jesus, you came to this understanding that you needed Jesus Christ in your life because you were incapable of doing what needed to be done. You were incapable of saving yourself. And you trusted Jesus. Now with that in mind, and I hope you have, and moms, if there's any in here who have not come to faith, you have not trusted Jesus, do it today. Do it today. Come to Him in faith and receive His forgiveness for your sins. Don't go another year struggling. Come to Jesus. But now, moms, consider the words of Paul in Galatians 3, verse 3. With that in mind, he says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" So with this passage in mind, think of your current life, your current situations, your current circumstances, the things that are bothering you, trouble with your relationships, trouble with a husband. Maybe it's your children that are the biggest concern in your life right now. Maybe it's to do with your career, your work, your job, or other relationships related to it. Again, moms, you must realize you cannot obtain permanent transformation in your own power. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect or complete and mature in the flesh, in your own power? You started off right. You started off with the understanding, I can't save myself. I need Jesus Christ. I need a Savior. I need someone to do it for me. Having begun in the flesh, are you made perfect by your own strength? Or having begun in the Spirit, are you made perfect by your flesh? Again, the best, you got to realize the best efforts to change these circumstances that you're facing today on your own power never work. Again, recognize the need for a power outside of and far greater than yourself. All of this has not changed. You still have the same need that you had back when you trusted Christ as for salvation for the first time. You have the same need, and you must live in the power of God. So with this in mind, how do you live in the power of God? How do you live in this power? First of all, you must believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's basic. We can only move in the power of the Holy Spirit if we have first received Jesus as Savior of our lives. Notice what John says in John 9:31. John 9:31. Now we know that God does not hear, what's the word? Sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him. This is saying God doesn't hear sinners because they don't have a relationship with him. This is not saying God doesn't hear someone who cries out in faith to him and says, God, I need your salvation. But it is saying he doesn't have a relationship with sinners. He has a relationship with those who are his children, those who have been born again. That's why you must be born again. If not, God cannot hear your prayers. Sin is in the way of fellowship with you and God, your Creator, your Father. You must be born again. I can walk down the streets here at Botany, at the town center. I can walk down the streets and hear any number of kids saying, Daddy. And I'm not going to respond to all of them, am I? Because I'm not their daddy. But yet if I hear a familiar voice and someone says, Dad, and I know it's one of mine, one of my four, then I am going to be able to respond to them sometimes. But you know the point. I know my kids crying out to me, hollering out to me, is a little different than any kid, isn't it? Because I know them and I have a relationship with them. And the same is true with you. You must, first of all, know God, have a relationship with him, and then you go to him and call him and cry out to him, Abba, Father, and he hears you. Have a relationship with him. But the second thing is you must acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I'm not talking about coming up here this morning and I'm going to smack you in the forehead and slay you in the spirit or something like that. But I am saying that you must acknowledge that you can do nothing without him in your life. You need the Holy Spirit working in your life. Now, I'm not going to get into a lot of theology here, but let me just say this, that if you are a believer and a Christian, the Bible tells us that you do have the Spirit of God in you. You have the Spirit of God in you. He is with you. He will never leave you. So the Spirit doesn't come and go, and you have the Spirit of God if you are truly a born-again believer. But being filled with the Spirit is a different thing. Being filled with the Spirit is allowing yourself to be controlled by the Spirit. I'm going to get to that more in just a moment. But you must acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:5, in talking to us about those who have been exposed to truth, it says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Don't be one of those. You have a form of godliness. You know about the Bible. You know about God, and you're even faithful in church, but you're denying its power if you don't acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if you don't acknowledge that, you're not going to be going to prayer and asking the Lord to do a great work, to do a work in your life and in your circumstances, and looking to his power. Don't be a professional Christian, knowing all that you need to do. Don't be a Christian who speaks just fluent Christianese. Do you know what Christianese is? Do you know all the right words, all the right phrases? You need the power of this Spirit in your life. Ephesians 1:18 and 19, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward those who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. This is what God wants you to know in your life. His mighty power at work in your life. But you have to acknowledge that it's not your power. You need the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. So you must be, first of all, a child of God. Acknowledge that you need the power of the Spirit. And then thirdly, be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Read this out loud with me, okay? Again. And do not be in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, again, I've already mentioned, this is not referring to how much of the Holy Spirit you have in you. Some may have this much of the Holy Spirit. Some may have this much Holy Spirit. You either have the Holy Spirit in you as a child of God or you don't. And if you don't have the Spirit in you, the God's Spirit in you, then you are not His. You don't belong to Him. This is talking, though, about being filled with it. And this idea of being filled, well, it's contrasted here with, instead of the Spirit, it's contrasted with being filled with wine. Okay, what is that called? Called being drunk. Okay? It says, don't be drunk. That's not God's will for you. That's not what God wants to see in your life. And a person who is drunk, well, they are not in control, are they? That's why drink driving is illegal, isn't it? And sometimes drink driving is called driving under the influence of what? Okay, of alcohol, under that influence. And the reason it's illegal is because you're not in full control. The alcohol is controlling. You're under its influence. And so he contrasts it. He says, not that, but this. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled, controlled, influenced by the Holy Spirit in your life. And this is a daily thing that we must obey. This is not an automatic thing. All believers have the Spirit, but this is not something, being filled with the Spirit is not something that happens against your will. It's a command. It's a command that we have to obey. And therefore, if it's a command that we have to obey, it is possible that we can disobey this. And we can live contrary to what God wants for us. And too often we do. So be filled with the Spirit. That is, allow yourself to be controlled, to be sensitive, to be led by God's Spirit as you're being faithful to Him and as you're obeying Him and as you're growing in understanding of the Word of God continuously, because the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to grow you and to lead you, to guide you. Be filled with the Spirit. Women, mothers, everyone in here, God wants you to live the abundant life Jesus spoke of. Whatever you find yourself in right now, you need to realize that only God can meet those needs. You cannot look to anything else. Anyone else, don't look to your husbands to meet the needs that God only can meet in your life. That's not fair on him, and it's not going to be fair on you. And it's going to lead to frustration. But look to God to meet those needs. Don't just survive if you're in survival mode alone, but look to God for that abundant life. Take it to the Lord in prayer. At our 10 o'clock session, Pastor Mike's going to share more on the topic of prayer and how you can begin better to having a consistent prayer life with the Lord. And I hope that you'll hear that. I hope you'll be here to listen to some of these practical ideas and suggestions on this. Would you please stand with me? Everyone. With your head bowed and eyes closed. Moms, I want to pray for you. Women, I want to pray for you. We need more praying women. I know many of you do pray, and I thank the Lord. Many of you, I know you even get together and you spend time in prayer together, and you pray for others. You pray for your families. You pray for your church. You pray for your pastors, and I thank you for that. We need more praying women. We need more praying women in our country. seeing the direction that so many are going. Maybe there are some in this room right now that are going through some trials. Maybe it's your relationships, your marriage. Maybe it's with your children. Maybe it's with your health. Whatever concerns you have. Mothers, remember the words of that song of what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I encourage you, take it to Him in prayer today. Be women of prayer. Avail yourself of this gift that's been given to us. Are there any here who are uncertain of their own salvation? Maybe inside you are confident you don't have a relationship with God. You don't know the Lord as your Savior. Is there anybody like that? Pastor Ken, I don't know for sure if I even have a relationship with God, my Creator. Anybody here? Listen, just a few moments. Spend some time in prayer. Commit yourself to the Lord anew, afresh. Commit yourself to prayer. Go to Him. Acknowledge that you need the Holy Spirit in your life. You don't want to just survive. You want to live the abundant life that Jesus came to give. I'll give us just a few moments, and I'll lead us together soon. At this time, I'm going to ask everyone except mothers and grandmothers or great-grandmothers, everyone else, please take a seat at this time. I want to pray for these moms especially right now for us. Just take a seat, unless you're a mom. Remain standing, moms, grandmoms, great-grandmoms. Let us pray. Let us pray together. Lord, I lift up these ladies. Lord, I thank you for calling them to be moms, that you have entrusted to them. You have entrusted to them, young ones, to be good stewards of and to raise them. Father, it's not an easy thing. I know, I understand. But Lord, I pray that they would seek to be women of prayer. That whatever comes their way, they would take it to you. They would continue to acknowledge that they need you. That they cannot do these things on their own strength, their own ability and power. That they would look to you to meet the needs in their life. Lord, that they would be filled with the Spirit that is daily yielding themselves to Him. That He would be the influence in their life as they live, as they manage, as they deal with their family and situations around them, that the Spirit of God would be the one that is working through them. Lord, make them women of prayer. May they see the need. May they be faithful. May they commit themselves to being these women of prayer. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And let's give our mums here a hand. Mums, we love you. Please be seated. We have a few announcements we'd like you to hear before we're dismissed and have some fellowship together. Thank you.
Thank you for the message this morning. And God bless you, each and every one of you, those who are mums of honor this morning. Before we have the announcements, I think we did find that photograph, didn't we, of the baby from Angie and Alice. They said downstairs we have it now. No? We'll go right on into the announcements and notices that we have. Ladies, we have an afternoon Bible study on Thursdays. This is at 1 o'clock, from 1 o'clock until 2:30. So if you're a part of that or would like to be a part of that, then you can see Gina, and she'll give you all the details. We have the title in here, Nurturing a Heart of Humility. So that's from 1 o'clock until 2:30. We also have coming up our annual general meeting, the AGM. And this is going to be next Sunday, the 21st of May. And the annual general meeting will take place here at 10 o'clock. So what we would like to ask is this. For all of our church members, we would really like for you to be here to hear the presentation that the pastors and the deacons are presenting, the budget for this past year, as well as a report, or this coming year, as well as a report on this past year. Now, all the details to the meeting are posted just on the board outside. I think that's still up there.
Yeah.
Is that still up there? Yeah. All the details to the meetings are posted, as well as online, and so we would like for you to be able to go through and take a look at that and download your packages that are online. And then if you have any questions between now and next Sunday, if you have any serious questions about the budget, just let us know and we'll be glad to answer them. But during the meeting time, this is our presentation time, and then at the very end we would like a vote of confirmation to say let's move forward and accomplish what the leadership of the church has determined would be good for us for this coming year. So that's next Sunday morning during the 10 o'clock hour. Also in our announcements, we have our youth camp coming up. That's coming up for the 19th through the 22nd of July. That's for our teen group. So those who are part of the teen group, you can see Josh about that, and he'll give you all the details. $125 is the cost for the week down at Lake Talpo, and that's a good deal for that camp and for the amount of time that you'll be there. Also, our young adults retreat coming up in August, the 25th through the 27th. That's in Hamilton for the two nights, $170, which includes the meals, the accommodations, and also that's also a very good price for for what you're going to be getting down at the conference. If you have any questions about that, then you can see Matt and his wife Chandra. They'll give you all the details. Our missionaries that we're praying for this week, John Redshaw and his wife Rosemary, right now they're in Vanuatu as they're ministering out through the Bible Training Center. And so continue to pray for them. We support them here at this church financially as well as through our prayers. And then, of course, all of our missionaries that we support in our missionary letters are posted in the back. So I think that's all of the announcements that we need to share, other than, I believe, right after the service here. Is this right after the service, Miss Jennifer? Is this when we're going to be serving the muffins and all for the mothers? And then after the Sunday school, that's not going to be after the Sunday school. Is that right? The muffins?
No. Well,
just during this time coming up?
Yes.
Okay.
And then for the second service, it'll be after that service as well, but it's for everyone.
Okay. All right. So the muffins will be served here in the next few minutes between the services. We'll give you a little bit of extra time for that, and then after the next service as well. So you all are welcome to take part of the muffins. Before we're dismissed, though, let's just take a moment and recognize birthdays and anniversary days. Anyone celebrating a birthday this week? Anyone having a birthday this coming week? We'd like to celebrate and recognize you in that time. Come on up here, Bernard. Anyone else that's celebrating a birthday this week? No one else with a birthday? How about wedding anniversaries? Any wedding anniversaries? Come on up here. Wedding anniversary. And you're having a wedding anniversary as well. Wow. That happens a lot, isn't it? Birthdays and wedding anniversaries. Gina and I never thought about things like that. We just, you know, we just got married. We didn't think about birthdays at the same time. Mm-mm. Any other wedding anniversaries? None? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday first to Bernard. And then we're going to sing Happy Anniversary to our two couples with the wedding anniversaries coming up. Let's all sing together as we sing Happy Birthday. Happy Birthday
to you. How many years? 22? Congrats.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
All right, let's be dismissed. And you'll notice in your, you have a magnet that says the power of a praying woman. Take this and use it to remind you to be a praying woman. And we also have plenty if you wanted to take one to give it to a friend or to give it to families or whatever. Just take what you want, take what you need. We have them in the back there and the back table. So feel free. Let's go ahead and be dismissed and have some fellowship together. Thank you, Father, for your word to us today. Lord, as we celebrate and honor the moms in our lives, I pray, Lord, that we would all leave here today with a stronger conviction to take everything to you in prayer, to be men and women of prayer, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.